Morning. 11:59. Well, it's pretty late. Yes, first of all, I just want to thank the church for the support you gave to the CPS seminar 2006. I've asked you, I want to, at least one of you all to come, so you surpassed that by 10%. There's 215 of you coming. Thank you very much. And I was looking to God for overall attendance of 600. It was quite an impossible dream, but we're very close. We're about 590 there, so we are pleased. It's not a numbers game. Nobody knows. It's not published anywhere. But we just want to maximize the returns on our time investment. We put in so much effort. We want to benefit as many people as possible, particularly churches that are outside our church. We want more churches to adopt the various community. I mean, Singapore is huge, and 85% of our people are living in HDB housing estate. So you know the needs are very great. I've asked for volunteers to do the march in. I think we managed only to get 140 people. I was hoping to get 200. I couldn't. A lot of you cannot come, and that is understandable. And some people think that, wow, there are so few converts coming down. Actually, we could have gotten more if we could resurrect some people. Yeah. Do you know that a lot of people cannot be here because it's Siliao? Literally died already. In the first 10 years of our work, we saw a lot of elderly coming to Christ. You know, God given them that opportunity just before they go into eternity. It's very rewarding the more I look back to it. And because they came to Christ in the first 10 years of our work, this elderly, and we are now 30 years in, many of them have literally died already. Otherwise, if I get them to march in, it'd be exciting. But not now, right? You'll be so scared all run out. Yeah. And with that, thank God that God died for the young, the old. The young has a lot of opportunity left, hopefully. But the old are literally in the last run. Yeah, to see them safe, I attended so many funeral wakes in the early days. And how often we just stand next to the coffin, pay respects, and then just thank God that this elderly person came to Christ just in the nick of time, just before they step into eternity. It's so rewarding and so meaningful. Okay, so that's it. Now, I have departed from our teaching series on Hebrews, first to respond to the request of the prayer pastor to preach on prayer and fasting. Then the following week, there was a request by BeCare for me to preach a sermon on related to BeCare. But today, I am also sticking to just a topical thing and not back to my series because some months back, some cell leaders came to see me that they are very alarmed over a certain problem that they observe, and they say they discuss it in a cell meeting. And she was so alarmed that there are members who tell them that, no, we don't tithe at all. So I said, Pastor, can you please teach on tithing? It's so important. And I agree. I think it's very important. We have not been doing too much teaching. The last time I taught on this subject was 10 years ago. Right? So once in 10 years, we teach on tithing, that means giving. So when you want to time coming to our church, don't come on that 10th year, okay? But only once in 10 years. But it's a needful subject. We shall deal with it the best we can. And get inspired by God and His Word, all right? So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the most precious gift in our life, and that's your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He made all the difference for our life here, now, and for eternity. And all the possession, the material things that we have, paled in comparison to Christ's incomparable. So, Father, as we look at this whole teaching of yours on giving, on tithing, please open our eyes, change our perspective, on the whole thing about our possession, our giving, and set us free for those of us who are still struggling with this issue, and inspire those of us who are giving to continue to be consistent and to develop this whole Christian discipline of giving, as important as our discipline to pray, discipline to read a word. So we yield this time to you. We pray that you speak to us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Tithing to God. Genesis chapter 14, 17 to 22. There are a few verses missing, but we're going to come back to the missing verses later on, all right? But for now, to just start with this passage is good enough. Genesis. So early in the God's recorded biblical history, God taught us about tithing. So it's amazing. Genesis 14. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. After Abram's return from striking defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought up bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham, who belonged to God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your armies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe, all right? And he, that means Abraham, and Abraham gave to Melchizedek a tithe of 1/10 of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the person and take the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I raise my hand to God, God Most High, the possessor of heaven," and it's incomplete there, but later on we come to have a complete. He said that he won't take anything. He's going to return everything. And we're going to learn some principle there as well. But that's scriptures. Let me give you an introduction. 26 April this year, I preached on Strengthening the Church, Part 2. And I referred to the way many believers in the early church sold their properties and gave the entire proceeds to the church. The early church showed love in action. That was love in action. Sell their properties and give the proceeds. And that impacted the people around them. I mean, the non-Christian world at that time, they saw it and said, wow, God must be real. This is our love unheard of, unseen before. Selling their properties, giving the entire proceeds to the church was meant to be a free will offering. I call it principle giving, based on a principle. And it is a non-prescriptive, that means not laid down as a requirement. We give on the principle that Jesus has loved us. Jesus loved us sacrificially. So our love for one another must be based on the principle of sacrifice. We give in the spirit of sacrifice. We give in terms of time, money, energy, or emotional capital. And whatever it is, it costs us something. That's why we call it a sacrifice. However, I also say that there is a form of giving that is not by free will offering, but by requirement of God. It is a form of giving that the Bible calls tithing. It is prescriptive. It is a requirement. And we are to pay tithe. Turning to our church, most of our members are sacrificial, generous in giving tithe and free will offering. It's so evident. There are, of course, some of us who are holding back, maybe not taught, and so I don't blame you. And this minority should learn, and I hope I can teach. And we want to encourage both the principle as well as the prescriptive tithing. The prescriptive tithing must be practiced by all of us. It is a requirement of God to give a monthly tithe of 10% of our income is required by God. Even Jesus affirmed tithing. If we read Matthew 23, 23, Jesus said, at the time he was sort of rebuking the Pharisees and the scribe, he said, "You hypocrites, you pay tithe of the mint, anise, and cumin. These are all very, very tiny seeds. All right? So you imagine that these kind of Pharisees, they do collect, they gain, someone give them, so they have all these tiny seeds. But they are so meticulous, they will use the electronic weighing machine that is fine in restaurant. They put it in how many grams, they give 1/10. So they were very meticulous. And so Jesus said that you pay tithe of your mint, anise, cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. This you ought to have done. That means you must pay your tithe, mint, etc., without leaving the others undone. Right? So we missed out. This actually, Jesus is saying that it is correct and you must give, but also remember the spirit of the law. And that is something else you must give. You give justice, mercy, and faith. And this morning after service, a brother came and said, Pastor, I got no problem in giving. Money, no problem. I've been all my life give. But I got problem in giving care, concern. You know, there are certain things is holding me back. I say, yeah, that's precisely it. Yeah. Today, of course, I'm teaching on giving on money. Some of us say, no, I got no problem giving money, but we may fail about giving justice, mercy, and acts of kindness, all right? Okay, so some of us are not tithing. And it is, of course, a matter of concern to the church leaders. It's not about loss of revenue for the church, all right? But I think it's not good spiritually for the person not to give. You missed out on developing a very important spiritual discipline. It's like telling me I don't read my Bible, I don't pray. I'm just a Christian. So for the sake of those who have no idea of what tithing is, let me give you the simplest definition. Tithing is a giving of 10% of our income to God. In a rural economy, tithing would be done once a year based on 10% of the harvest. In an urban society like ours, we tithe our monthly income. And some believers also tithe their occasional income, like bonus or capital gains. Right? Now, this is first time in many years that I'm teaching, so I really hope I can teach, I can motivate, I can encourage you to start tithing for those of us who are not already doing so. My roadmap for today is as follows. Number one, tithing to God in support of His temple servants, tithing to God in the rebuilding of His temple, and lastly, tithing to God in expressing honor to the king. First, tithing to God in support of His temple servant. You might be wondering why we have not been emphasizing on tithing all these years. Some of you have been in church for 10 years, so this is the first time you're hearing. How come you don't teach us on all these things? And the reason is very much a brethren tradition. You know, this is a brethren church, okay? This is a living sanctuary brethren church. I know many of you don't believe it, okay, but it is brethren. And we tend not to emphasize on tithing. Brethren churches believe that tithing was practiced in the Old Testament only, and once you come to the New Testament, churches just practice free will offering. I was taught like that when I was young, growing up in a brethren church, attending Sunday school. But I believe, as I grew up and studied scriptures, I think this is not quite accurate. All right? The common understanding of tithing is that it originated in the Old Testament and it was instituted by God for the benefit of the Levites serving in the temple of God. The teaching, of course, is quite clear in Leviticus 27, Numbers 18, Deuteronomy 14. I will just read a few just for reference. You just copy down the detail. You can read it for yourself at home. Now, for Leviticus 27, 30 to 32, God said that, now, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, fruits of the land, is the Lord's. It is holy to God. This is a very, very clear statement that tithe belongs to God. Then in Numbers 18, 21 to 24, it says, behold, I have given the children of Levites, all the tithe in Israel, as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. For the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I given to the Levite as an inheritance. So, the practice here is quite foreign to you. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of offering, right? Sin offering, free will offering, and there's a grain offering by heave. They take a seed and then heave it to the Lord and then give it away. And actually, they were tithing to God. God said, what you offer by heave offering, I have given it to the Levites. You give it to me, I've assigned it to the Levites. And it's given to Levites as an inheritance. And we know that because when God brought the children to the promised land, each of the tribes had an inheritance of a land, except Levi. Levi got no land. And the Lord said that you would not have land as inheritance. I am your inheritance. And whatever people tithe to God, God said, I'm going to give this to the Levite because this is their inheritance. Okay, so that's a theological background. Now, tithing principle. And this one is taken from Deuteronomy 14, 22-29, that you shall truly tithe all the increase of the grain that a field produces year by year. And then it set out some procedure. If you want to go to a place to make an offering, it's so far away, you can sell it, turn it into money, bring the money to the place. Don't bring tons and tons of grain, right? And over there, then you buy again and then offer. So that procedure. But God said in verse 27, you shall not forsake the Levites who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. So you must take care of them because they don't have inheritance like you have. Okay, I grew up in the denomination that teaches tithing was an Old Testament practice that's been superseded by the church practice of the New Testament. Basically, they teach that tithing is a Levitical law that's been superseded by Jesus Christ. I say it's not accurate. I think Jesus did not do away with tithing. Jesus did not do away with Old Testament law. He said he came to fulfill the law, and he requires believers to fulfill the law to a much higher standard than just observing the do's and the don'ts. He requires us to fulfill the spirit of the law and not just the letters of the law. And we read that in Matthew 5:17-22. And Jesus told, Jesus said, I do not think that I've come to destroy, to do away, to supersede the law. I did not come to destroy. I come to fulfill. Right? And then he said that now your fulfillment of the law is higher standard than before. And he said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees or Old Testament, you cannot say that you belong to my kingdom. And that is in verse 20. Uh-huh. And what our spirit he illustrates. Now, you say that in the Old Testament, you say you shall not murder. Whoever murder will be in danger of judgment. So that's the Old Testament law. But I'm going to tell you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. It's as good as murder. So that's such a high standard. And the rest of it, of course, we must all understand that now that we're coming under the law with Christ, the spirit of the law that is worse than the Old Testament, more stringent. No way any one of us can fulfill it. No way. And it is only possible that we can live and fulfill the law because of the Holy Spirit that will help us and because of the grace of Christ. So otherwise, we are hopeless. But now we can. On a day-by-day basis, depending on God, we can try to live up with the help of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. So in terms of fulfilling the law, by believers, including tithing, Jesus required not only the continuation of tithing, but also living out the spirit of the law in terms of giving attention to justice, mercy, and faith. And I read that Johnson for you, right? Matthew 23:23. He scolded the Pharisee and said that, pay your tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, but you don't neglect the weightier matters of the law, the spirit of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You must give that, beside giving one-tenth of those other things. All right. Okay. Brethren, teaching on giving emphasized free will offering taught by Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, 7. However, we are not taught to give free will offering equivalent to 10% of our income. So let me explain what I mean. No, don't talk to me about 10%. Give willingly from your heart, free will offering. Stop. But I've not heard people telling me that, forget about 10%. Give our own free will 10% or more. Yeah, we totally skip that. So as a result, I give free will offering whatever is in my pocket. I go to church, whatever is in my pocket, free will offering, my udogu, bodobo, so I give. Yeah. And of course, I must plan ahead. When you go to church, don't carry big notes. Big trouble, you know. Yeah, freely offering what? So that's not the spirit of things like that. Not that's how free will. And I think we should purpose in our hearts to give free will offering equivalent to or more than the 10% of our income. So 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this is the first thing I want to say about the tithe. Is in support of the temple workers, the original intention there. Next is tithing to God in the rebuilding of his temple. It is not uncommon to find believers failing to tithe, and as a result, it causes leak in the income of the church. And very often, it is a situation where some members of the church tithe, others do not. And this causes a shortfall in income and ultimately leads to neglect in the financial support of church staff and upkeep of the church facility. I want to mention that it doesn't happen in our church. You all give very generously. The upkeep of the church is fantastic, all right? After 31 years, this whole building looks like new. And it's not what I say, what visitor will say. And I think this Saturday, there'll be hundreds of visitors coming and they'll say the same thing. Your church looks new. And that's because it's well-maintained and we're enabled to because people give faithfully and there's no neglect in the facility. Our church staff is also reasonably well supported. All right? I cannot say they are very well supported because they'll kill me. We must all appear very hungry, very lean, and say, hey, better give more. Yeah, but the truth is that we're very grateful. I think that our church members really take responsibility to take care of the staff. Now, this neglect happens in the Old Testament also. There were periods in the Jewish history where the people neglected to tithe. It led to the decline of the spiritual life of the Jews and the rundown of the temple. Okay, let me be clear. You have a one track of history where the rebellion, the disobedience, the idolatry of people caused God to judge them and other kings conquered them and they were exiled. The town declined, temple got knocked down. But there were other stream of the history at a time when the spiritual life declined, temple not taken care of. They were not under conquest, but it's just neglect. So there is the other aspect as well. And because people neglected in the tithe. Whenever God sends spiritual revival to the people, he will also challenge them to rebuild the temple where they have neglected. And the practical action to be undertaken by the people will be restart tithing. He always tells the people, you must restart tithing. Now, in the Bible, there's one passage where the issue of tithing and temple renewal are mentioned as related issues. And we can read this very interesting episode on the reforms of the Jewish community under the leadership of Nehemiah. And we can read of the Jews renewing their practice of tithing. Tithing was something they neglected for a while, and the leaders and people renewed their commitment to bring the tithe in. And I want to read a bit of this. It's very interesting because it just reminds us of the way we make decoration. In our church, New Year's Day, Self-Dedication Day, we put a prayer and then we declare, right? Declare is that we make a commitment. And in Nehemiah's time, they came to rebuild and try renewal taking place. And then the people came down and then said, we are going to make a new commitment. And we read, we promise to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple year after year. We agree to dedicate our child, a firstborn, to the Lord. We will present them to the priest, okay? We will store the produce in the storehouse of the temple. And we promise to bring to the Levites a tenth of everything our land produces, for it is the Levites who collect the tithe in our rural town. So you have all this decoration, and it's related. You want to rebuild, want to have a revival, restart now for these people who neglected it. And we promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. That's the last verse. It is very important for us to remember that we tithe to God and not to the church. The church is the administrative and receiving agent. We are the priests and the Levites of old. And what you tithe to God, God said, I hand it to them to administer. And the purpose of tithe is for upkeep of his church. As far as God is concerned, if we fail to pay our tithe, we are withholding from God what belongs to him. I mean, if tithe belongs to God, we withhold it, we are withholding from him. Withholding your tithe would amount to robbing God. Rob, the word rob. And this is a very strong language, very offensive. And if I ask you, look, have you been robbing God? You'll be very offended, right? Pastor, can you please rephrase? I say, okay, sorry. Are you tithing? Yeah. And this is what God said to his people in Malachi chapter 3, 8 to 12. Very strong language. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. So these are words in the Lord's word. But you see, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings. You robbed me. So that's verse 8. We skip verse 9. Skip, don't read. Verse 9 is about curses. Don't read about curses. Okay, let's move on. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me in this, says the Lord. We skip the rest because it's a promise. So if you tithe, I'm going to give you something. So we skip the promise, we skip the tithe. I don't do it because you think this is marketing. to get better tithe, you promise them, scare them. It's there. You can read it for yourself from God. But I'll teach you about the principles and let us just decide based on principle. We make sure that we bring in all the tithe so that there'll be sufficient funds in God's house. All the regular tithe should be brought in as they would go a long way to keep finance of the church running, enhance facilities, and most importantly, so that we can reinvest in the community, reinvest in kingdom business, right? And you know we pour a lot of money into that part because it's our core business. Now come to the third point. Tithing to God in expression honor to the king. The Old Testament teaching on tithing actually dates further back than the time God instituted the law relating to temple worship recorded in Leviticus. So people object to say that we are a New Testament church. Why talk to us about Old Testament? I say, no. It's beyond that, you know. It's even before that. Genesis, before the temple and all. So, and it's recorded in Genesis 14, 17, 22. And we read that just now. I'll just pick it up from where we left. Let's say 20, yeah. And blessed be God, Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And then Abraham tithe of all, one-tenth of all to him. Now, then the king of Sodom, whom Abraham went to help and save, said to him, okay, now you recover all these things. Can you give me the persons? Return the people to me. But you can take all the goods that you recover. You see, the Chaudra Lama came with a lot of king and conquered Sodom and took people and property. Abraham recovered everything. Spoils of war. It belongs to him. It belongs to him. So king of Sodom said, can you do me a favor? Return the people to me. I cannot have a kingdom without people, right? He said, can. But the rest you can keep. But Abraham said, I raise my hand to the Lord God, Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread to a sandal strap. I won't take anything from you that is yours. Lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. So he's saying that there are certain things I will not take. It's not that I will take, I use 10%. I don't even take. After that, I explain to you the implication, okay? Then he says something very interesting. Except only what the young men have eaten, because he went with his men to war. And during that time, in a war, the men also have to eat to get nourished. They took things, they eat, etc. And also, the men also can collect spoils of war. They can take some rope, take the gold chain, whatever it is. He said that, but those, what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, let them take their portion. Okay, that one I cannot return to you. There's something to learn also. I'll come to that. Okay, now that is a biblical setting. Abraham tied to Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of God, the Most High. And it's a type. Melchizedek is a type of Christ, just like Jonah. Jesus referred to Jonah as also a type. Jesus referred to the ark. Noah's ark also is a type of him, salvation. So here, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Christ is also a king Most High, an eternal priest and king. We'll come to that in a minute. Jesus is Melchizedek is a type of Christ. And Christ is our great high priest today. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. And likewise, Jesus is also the king of kings. So it's an exact type for us to try to understand the Old and the New Testament. There was no law in existence at that time requiring Abraham to tithe. No need to tithe. Abraham tithe out of a generous and a sacrificial spirit in honor of Melchizedek, the priest and king. So Abraham really want to bless. There's no requirement. But I want to tithe to honor you as Melchizedek, the high priest. It is fitting for us to tithe out of a generous and a sacrificial heart, and in honor of Jesus, our priest and our king. And it's beyond the requirement relating to tithing. That is very important. Right? It's just really beyond requirement. In Hebrews 7, 14 to 17, where the New Testament is linked to this whole passage in Genesis, for the Hebrew writers say that it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet for more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testified, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Yeah, we all know that Christ is not from the Levi. Right? He's not a Levi, he's not from Aaron. So he cannot be the priest or the Levite. But he's from the tribe of Judah. So, and yet, he is the priest, Most High. He's a priest forever. And God said, it's because he is from the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek suddenly out of nowhere in Genesis, on the pump, it comes up, And God just said, this is it. God without beginning, without end, Melchizedek came. And this is Jesus. He's a type of Jesus. He's priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Abraham did not get financial windfall from which he tithe. He did not make a lot of money and then say, I tithe. He risked his life. He went to war and he obtained the spoils of war. He's entitled to keep that. we do not wait until we get a financial windfall before you tithe. Make sure that, you know, say, God, you know, I'm so poor. Wait until I strike lottery, I give 10%. Don't do that. You tithe from what you diligently earn. Abraham was entitled to keep his portion of the spoil of war, just like the rest were entitled, but he tithed just the same. Right? You might feel the same about your tithing, your earning. You're entitled to keep all for yourself. It's your earning. But you still tithe out a spirit of generosity and sacrifice. Amid this, Abraham did three things to honor God. And it was really out of the ordinary and purely based on his jealousy for God. The three things we can also learn. The whole thing about tithing. First, Abraham acceded to the request of the king of Sodom to return the people of Sodom to its king. The thing for us to learn is this. There are things that we ought not to acquire in life, and tithing them would still be wrong. Right, the things that we ought not acquire in life and tithing them would be wrong. I mean, for example, if one day someone tell you that I saw your pastor queuing up at a Toto store in Block 106, is that one? Yeah. And then I ask him, what are you doing, pastor? Oh, I'm just buying Toto. Ah, pastor can buy Toto. No, once I get, I tie to the church. Yeah. So, of course, the resident very clever lah. Like that can. Pastor, can I tumpang or not? Baotio on. There are certain things you don't, right? But of course, the Bible don't talk about Toto and 4D. Something more practical. Deuteronomy 24, 6 to 13. No man shall take the lower or upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. All right, so you don't do that. And there are certain things that if you lend your brother anything, you should not go into the house to get the pledge, and you'll stand outside so that the man who lend shall bring the pledge out to you. If the man is poor, he shall not keep his pledge overnight. Certain things you cannot even keep overnight. And this is a teaching about certain things. By just say, I earn it, I tithe, it's okay. There's certain thing that you say, I don't do it at all. And the principle of this pledge is something like that. I mean, if a brother in church, taxi driver in church, come to me, say, Pastor, you're a rich man. Can you lend me money? I say, can. Low interest rate, you know, 0.1%. You know, very good, right? I'm a pastor. But you must pledge. Pledge your taxi. So, okay, I hand the taxi to you. And so I told the taxi, I lent him the money. But night time come, he said, Pastor, can I have my taxi back? You must return. Why? He's on night shift. And he got to drive the taxi, right? If you say, no, I won't let you have taxi until you pay back everything. Yeah, God say you do. God comes to such practical detail of what is conscionable, what is unconscionable, and certain income you don't collect and tell God, I'm going to collect and tithe to you. He said, you don't at all. And Abraham said that this thing, I'm entitled, I don't want at all, right? So that's the first thing that we should, principle of earning our money with compassion. And it will mean that we should not earn exorbitant interest from people in financial strait and then tithe from the interest. You do not buy lottery and tell God that if you get the price, you tithe. It does not work. And the Bible says that there was a very interesting passage in Proverbs that if you take the cloak is the outer garment of a person as a pledge, you know, borrow money, the cloak. And so you lend the money. When every night comes, you return the cloak because that person needs clothing for the night. I remember when I read this verse, I see a lot of exaggeration. Jacket also go and pledge. And one day God opened my eyes about what needy people can be. I was in Cambodia Phnom Penh, and it was real outside in a slum area, we were doing some work, very poor people. And torrential rain came, cats and dogs, it rained. And I saw a little girl, I think about 12 or 10, 12-year-old, ran out in the rain. He just ran out in the rain, frolicking away and cleaning herself, cleaning the dress, etc. I asked the missionary, I said, why is that girl doing it? I said, Pastor, she is bathing at the same time washing her clothes. I said, wash her clothes. Yeah, Pastor, there's the only chance you wash her clothes. Why do you wash her clothes? She has only one dress, Pastor. And I said, whoa. And it was then that I realized that there is such a thing, you know, that poverty can be down to that level. And then I found the other thing is that, you know, that little girl is not a little girl. She's 18 years old. I said, huh? Well, I mean, she's so malnourished, so stunned in her growth. That's like a 10, 12-year-old, 18-year-old girl. And it just left such an impression on me. I can close my eyes. I can see the rain. I can see her dancing now in the rain. Just a frog and all wet. Yeah. So God always requires us to earn, to give with compassion, right? Abraham returned the goods belonging to King of Sodom to guard God's reputation. He did not want any wealth that showed that he was beholden to man and not to God, okay? So we got to remember that. Huh? Thirdly, despite his generosity and willingness to give, Abraham did not give to the King of Sodom what rightly belonged to the man who went out with him. He asked specifically that the man receive their due, and it's a principle for us to follow when we give, right? We should not tithe, give away what does not belong to us. You should not be generous at the expense of another person. Let me give you an illustration, all right? Then you will see what it is. We have a church staff. We have set aside 100,000 year end, you know, there's 100,000 for to give bonus to our church staff. Eh, staff, kong niya le, just illustration ni lah, huh? Yeah, 100,000. Say we give 100,000. All there, parked for our church December bonus. And our organization write to me, Pastor Lawrence, we are lacking fund. Could you, we need money, could you make a donation? I mean, you're such a great pastor, you're so generous, you're so great. You know, if you give, I tell all the pastors in Singapore will know you. Gonna be great. I, of course, they can, no problem. How much you want? 100,000. Can I give 100,000? So I gave. It doesn't cost me nothing. I came out of office and said, staff, this year-end bonus cancelled already. It's given to other people. I was generous on your expense. A lot of people like that. And I think we're very careful, especially parents. You honor your parents, all right? You give certain sum of money. Then the church asks you for money. Say, okay, I will give money for mother also I give away. You are at an expense, all right? So you don't do things like that. Huh? So Abraham said that this man, during the war, they add the things. I don't want them to cough up. And they are entitled to spoil the war. I want to keep. Can you please let them keep? For me, what I have, I return all to you. I gave at my expense, not at their expense. Are you with me or not? And so there is so much about tithing that it's not just the 10%. But God says it's more than that. You must do the weightier things about justice, about mercy, about faith. Okay. So we operate on that basis, all right? God always operates on a basis of rewarding those who are generous because he is no man's debtor. Okay, I'm going to skip the teaching about the other part, and I just want to read some words of wisdom from Proverbs 22:9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Be generous and share your food with the poor. You'll be blessed, for it. Proverbs 11, 22:9. There's another verse in Proverbs 11:24. There is one who scatters. Scatters here means distribute freely, like our church, we distribute freely. Spend freely. Give lavishly. And disperse abroad. Yet, increase more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, holding back because he thinks that in his circumstance he should hold back. But it leads to poverty. I think that we should remember all this word of wisdom. Right? It is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. The liberal man shall be rich. By watering others, he himself will be watered. Finally, I want to share with you a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. And then with that, I thought it's very, very interesting. Especially in view of our coming CBS. It goes this way. I hope it's on the screen. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high return. Wow, this thing came out so clearly. Of course, this is in the Message translation by Eugene Peterson. In the Living Bible, it said, give generously, your gift will return to you. But this thing about it yields high returns. We always think of returns. You say, Pastor, can you like to invest in this? I say, what is ROI? What is ROI? Pastor, we will do this. What is ROI? I have people come and tell me that your church, you do CP, very hard there, very hard for me to do because I don't see any ROI. It's the way we've done money, sir. Tens of thousands. You say, well, I cannot follow you. Where is the ROI? Because we think of ROI as some kind of return that is monetized or something. But God said that the ROI he talks about is investing in acts of kindness and love, which we do. And this charity yields high return. As far as God is concerned, the ROI is very high. In the eyes of many people, they will not touch it because there's no ROI. I want to tell you that the things we do, the money we put in, very high ROI. Because it has to do with eternity, we have to do with soul, and it has to do with many old people snatched at the very gates of hell over the years. And of course, many young people have been saved. And I want to continue to invest in acts of kindness in our community. I strongly believe that charity will yield high returns, high ROI. I want to encourage all of us never to give up, right? That's a way to for us to invest, to give. So he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, will have abundance for every good work. So let's give with the spirit of generosity and sacrifice. Tithing is prescriptive, but we give more than that. What motivates us is beyond the principle that God taught us, but is on a spirit of sacrifice that Jesus showed to us. And with that, I will close. It's 12:48. I want to close by saying something to affirm you. Our church is an amazing church. Most of our members tithe without much teaching, monitoring, and reminder. Do you get your reminder letter from us? How come I didn't tithe? Ah? Do you get a monitor? I monitor your giving. How come this month less? Ah? We don't do that. And I got my friend attends a church in my older place where if you join a church, you fill up a form. Lawrence Chua, I joined this church, I accepted, and then occupation, all this must declare. Then income, you must declare. It goes to church office, and then they write to you and say that, okay, you must tithe 10%. Right, so I got tithe 10%. And then they monitor me, because you must give in a certain way where they can monitor. If you fail, they'll remind you, Lawrence, you didn't give tithes last month. Then you still don't give, it goes to the notice board. And say, hey, I told my friend, real or not? Yeah, there's a long list on. I want to make sure my name is on there. Monitoring, checking, etc. We don't do it here. No need to. I mean, this is a church that gives such joy, just generosity. And I tell you, it just brings delight to God. Save me from a lot of admin work. Thank God for you. I feel that we should always turn prescriptive giving in terms of tithe into principal giving in terms of tithing in the spirit of sacrifice and love. Okay? And I think a lot of us get the order of getting and giving confused. Some people teach you that you should start with what you want to get. Right? Starting point is, don't panic. What you want to get, we start there first. Pastor, I need a Mercedes Benz. Okay, good. Put it in your mind now, how, you know, and then give. God, you know, I give you, I want a Mercedes Benz. Start with that, and see one day you get a Mercedes Benz. And we got also confused. Giving is about getting. You start with getting first. But actually, to give, to get is wrong. The biblical principle to start off is giving with no thought of what you want to get. And God is willing, will bless you with more than what you give. In short, we should give without thinking of getting. Because God is no man's debtor. And I also think that, I think it's ridiculous to tell God that I want to give on the basis first by telling you what I want to get. Because you've gotten everything, the best, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with Him, everything that's needful for life. You should be, I've gotten everything. Now let me talk about giving. Then to say, God, you want to start to think about giving, let me start by telling you what I want to get out of it. So that one are clear. I hope that you know where we stand on all this matter. And like I say, it's not a problem here. We teach today because it's for the sake of those who didn't know. You can't blame them. So you are under obligation to teach. They'll thank you for that. I hope you're blessed. Amen. Are you blessed? Yeah. Let's pray. Can you spend a minute or two just thanking God for what you have gotten? Don't think about giving, okay? Just think what you have received. The immensity of His love, His grace, of His person, the Lord Jesus Christ, of life eternal. Start with that. And then giving ranks right at the bottom. Thank God for that. Thank God. And now I ask you to join your hearts with mine as we bring the service to a close. Father, thank you for calling this church to being. Thank you for placing us here. Thank you for the tremendous blessing you've given to us as individuals and as a church, as a community, enabling us to live a full and joyful life in abundance, enabling us to give generously, lavishly, to invest in kingdom business. Thank you for that. And today we pray that for those of us that are still in the learning phase of giving, help us so that as we give, we find tremendous liberation from the control of money and the joy of freedom and the joy of giving. Father, as we come to close the service, we want to commit ourselves to you for the coming week. We pray, Lord, that it be a week of walking with you, a week of opportunity to witness for you, a week of learning, growing, and experiencing your goodness. And may the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit come upon life and then abide with us today, the week ahead, and forevermore. And let all God's people say, Amen. Let's thank God for His word.